Before you stand, a few
notes on today's service. One, well, maybe just one note on today's service. This is an Ascension service. And he's like, you can't do that. Ascension's on Thursday, right? Yeah, I know, right? But how many of you were actually going to show up to worship on Thursday? And every once in a while, it's going to be not, it's nice to do an Ascension service. So if you already were at an Ascension service, I'm sorry, it's a repeat. You can go home. Don't go home. Otherwise, we will be celebrating the Ascension today. So with that, please stand in body and in spirit. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
And he is ascended. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another, keeping a moment of silence for reflection and self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, that we light in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. The mercy of Almighty God, who was Jesus Christ, who was given to die for us. We're going to start that over. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God, your only Son was taken into the heavens, and in your presence intercedes for us. Receive us and our prayers for all the world, and in the end bring everything into your glory, through Jesus Christ, our Sovereign and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The first reading is from Acts, the first chapter. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he says, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samarians, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. The word of the Lord. Please read Psalm 47 responsively with me. Clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy.
For the Lord, the Most High, exalts a great king over all the earth.
He subdued peoples under us and nations under our feet.
He chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loves.
God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet.
Sing praises to God, sing praises, sing praises to our King, sing praises.
For God is the King of all the earth, sing praises with a psalm.
God is King over the nations, God sits on his holy throne.
The princes of the people gather as the people of the God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. The second reading is from Ephesians, the first chapter. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
Then Jesus said to his disciples, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses to all these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." And then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple, blessing God. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise be to Christ.
You may be seated. So if I have to be really honest about why I chose the Ascension today, it's because, all right, since Easter, the first Sunday of Easter, everything, so that was Luke, we're in the year of Luke, everything since then has been from John, and I didn't want to preach on John again, okay? That's why. And then I found out that Good Hope and Bucyrus has an Ascension service, and I found out like four of the people from the other from St. Paul's went there, and then I had to apologize to them this morning that they got it twice. Anyway, I'm going to not apologize for starting us off with a test today. True or false?
False.
Mike's right, but don't answer. Your job as a Christian is to save souls for Christ. How Lutheran are you? Your job as a Christian is to save souls for Christ. In other words, it is your responsibility, your responsibility to convince people that they must accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, lest they be condemned to the depths of hell. And you must do so by whatever means necessary. My favorite of those by whatever means necessary are those heaven and hell. Where are you going when you die? Billboards. Oh, I love those. But I don't love those billboards. I don't love those billboards. So true or false, your job as a Christian is to save souls for Christ. Thank you! There's so many Lutherans in here today, right? We don't save souls for Christ. Let me ask it a different way. Who has saved you? Thank you. All right, thank you. Thank you. Yes. So if Jesus has saved us, then it's not us that goes out and saves everyone else, right? Jesus, that's kind of his thing. Jesus is the saver of souls, if you will. Jesus, through his life, everything written about me, says Jesus, everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Jesus, in him, through his death and resurrection. Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And Jesus, in and through his ascension. In claiming the authority as the one who rules over all things. Yes, Jesus, as in the Jesus, the Christ, whose life, death, resurrection, and ascension, it is him who has saved us. We have not saved us, and we will not save anyone else. So now you can all leave. Well, we should do communion first. But after that, you can all leave. And just be happy, big sigh of relief, in knowing that soul that you were worried about, maybe it was your own soul, maybe it was someone else's soul, it's fine. It's not your job to save that soul. That job is Christ. And if you're like, well, doesn't Jesus need a little help? Yes, Jesus does, which is kind of the point of the Holy Spirit. But from what I could tell earlier, you're all a bunch of Lutherans, and that means that we don't talk about the Holy Spirit except for on Pentecost. That's one day a year. We're more Jesus people. So we'll talk about the Holy Spirit next week. For now, we got to have, you can only do it once a year as Lutheran. We're Jesus people. Anyway, we can't, though. Can we sit back and say, Christ's work, not mine? Can we? We can't say Christ's work, not mine. Now, if we do, I think we ignore everything that Jesus says and does. Lost my place. Everything that Jesus says and does and instructs before the ascension. We hear this. Jesus opens their minds to understand the scriptures. He explains that the Messiah is to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And then he reminds his disciples, you are witnesses of these things. And as best read to us from Acts, where's the part about witnessing? It was in there. Oh, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So can we just sit back and do nothing? Why? Because we are witnesses. We are not savers of souls, but we are witnesses. These disciples, they are all witnesses to Jesus' fulfilling of the law, the Psalms, the prophets, to Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and very soon to be his ascension, witnesses to themselves being saved. And if you're like, Pastor, didn't you just give a sermon on witnessing? No one's saying that. You didn't listen, you know, the second Sunday of Easter? That's okay. I had to go back and look and see how long ago it actually was. I was like, did I just do this? Anyway, why am I giving this sermon again? So close to the last one, the second Sunday of Easter. It was only like 4 or 5 weeks ago. Well, because you didn't listen the first time, and maybe if I keep repeating it, you'll actually do it. It's because witnessing to Jesus Christ, witnessing to Jesus Christ, it stands at the forefront of Christian discipleship. Nothing else is above it. He's like, maybe not. I would love to hear one of your sermons one day. The refutation of mine. I would say that witnessing to Jesus Christ stands at the forefront of Christian discipleship. It is among the most important things that we can do as Christians. Because Jesus said, you are witnesses of these things. But I wonder, how are you supposed to witness to what you didn't see? We didn't encounter Jesus on the cross, did we? We didn't watch that. We didn't meet Jesus after he rose from the dead. We didn't get to gaze upon Jesus as he was ascended into heaven, did we? But yet, we have come to believe. Why is that? Because witnesses kept witnessing. Generations upon generations of witnesses, millennia worth of witnesses on whose shoulders we now stand and witness. But there's another reason I'm preaching on witnessing. I want to know, what does it mean to witness to the ascended Jesus Christ? What difference does the ascension make? The ascended Jesus Christ. If Jesus didn't ascend, our job would be a lot easier. I could just stand right here, invite Jesus in for a Sunday, and point to him and say, Jesus, show him your hands and your feet and your side. And we'd be like, look, see, told you Jesus was real. And everybody would be like, cool. And then everybody, could you imagine how many people we'd have in here if Jesus was right there in the flesh? Could you imagine the line for the selfies and the TikTok videos, right? But do you know how many churches there are in this world? How long would we have to wait to get Jesus here in the flesh? Here's the thing. Jesus does show up here each and every Sunday, just like Jesus is out there each and every Sunday, and it is only because of the ascension that he is able to do it, right? A non-ascended Jesus is present in one place and one place only. And it might be cool to make a TikTok with Jesus, but that's not the point. The ascended Jesus, the ascension, opened up to a way where Christ is outside of, within, above, and below all places, both in heaven and on earth. And there's something really important to know about that. This means that Jesus shows up in our lives each and every day. So when I ask, what does it mean to witness to the ascended Christ? What does it mean to witness to the Christ that shows up in your life each and every day? And I think this is what we're called to witness to, the showing up of Christ. as in where has Jesus Christ showed up in your life? What has Jesus done for you? And how has this forever changed you? Jesus might not be visibly present, and Christ's presence in our lives is known and felt and visible every single day if we look for it. As in, we know and feel and see Christ present in our day-to-day lives, and the world around us comes to know and feel and see Christ in and through our lives, in what we do, in what we say, and in how we live each and every day. He agreed with me for once. Yes. This is what it looks like. This is what it sounds like to witness to the resurrected and the ascended Jesus Christ. And as I said on the second Sunday of Easter, this is most certainly not an easy job to do. And if we're honest, this is an impossible job for us to do, to go out and witness to Christ each and every day and each and everything we do. But it's impossible for us to do on our own. It's a good thing then that even witnessing to the risen and ascended Christ isn't our job alone. After reminding his disciples, "You are witnesses of these things," what does Jesus do? He offers a promise, a foreshadowing of what we as a church will celebrate next week. He says this, "I am sending upon you what my Father has promised, so stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Sorry, I'm going to break the Lutheran rule here. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit for a moment. I know, 2 weeks in a row, can you believe it? The promised Holy Spirit is who does the hard work of bringing all people to faith. And that includes each and every one of you and me and us. The Holy Spirit brings us to faith so that we may go out and witness. And once we do that, it's off of us. It's off of our shoulders, off of our backs. It's now the Holy Spirit's job to bring the ones whom we witness to the faith. It's almost as if Jesus knew we would mess it up if we were left to our own devices. So Jesus and God were like, "Hey," the Father were like, "Hey, here's the Holy Spirit, because I know you need some help," which is great. We have been clothed with power from on high. So the next time you go out and you witness in word, which is the hardest way to do it, or deed, which is an easier way to do it, just know that you are not alone in your witnessing. You have been clothed with power from on high. We are not alone in our witnessing. We have the Holy Spirit with us, and we have a great story to tell. Jesus Christ ascended into heaven and is therefore with us everywhere, every day. So go forth now and witness, right? Witness knowing that we are recipients of and witnesses to the good news of the one who does the saving of the souls, the one who is above all things, the one who is present in and through and around and under and above all things. Who is this one? He is the crucified, the risen, and the ascended Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God,
Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Few notes on our prayers this morning. We will be praying.
I'm going to add Teresa, our administrative assistant, to the list. She had surgery on Thursday, is going to be out of the office for a bit, so please keep Teresa in your prayers. Also, some of you know Jean Schwenning from St. Paul. She is in the hospital right now with some chest pains, but please keep Jean in your prayers. Are there any other prayers this morning? Well, thank you. You can all pray for that. I will keep those out of the prayers of intercession, though, but thank you. Any other prayers this morning? All right. God of resurrection and new life, we come before you in prayer for the church, for the world, and for all who are in need.
God of abundance, your love can be seen in each plant, each creature, and every landscape. Nurture crops as they develop, especially here in the fields of Crawford County. Restore habitats destroyed by natural disaster or human neglect. And make us faithful stewards of your good creation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. God of compassion, you console all who are hurting. Help us to recognize deep hurts of grief, loneliness, broken relationships, and trauma in our midst. Guide us in caring for one another. We especially lift to you Tammy, Brad, Joyce, Betty, Chuck, Fred, Judy, Jean, Nancy, Krista, Dave, AJ, Caden and his family, Linda, Haley, Scott, Sandy, Ed, Tina, Bobby, Jim. We lift Teresa and Jean, and for others that we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of change, you promised to be with your disciples as they faced an unknown future. Amid graduations, retirements, new jobs, and changes to how we gather, live together, and worship as faith communities, sustain your people with your presence and love. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Gracious God, we thank you for the gift of rest. Whether that rest may come this week or in another week, we pray for time of Sabbath rest for all people. Keep this congregation safe over the next week and make them cared for. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We commend these and all our prayers to you, O God, trusting that you are always with us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. We continue worship with our gifts and our offerings.
Let's pray. Risen One, you have gathered us around your table of grace. Along with these gifts we bring, come among us again, breathe your life into us, and enliven us with this meal, that we may live as your risen body in the world.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praises.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who, enthroned forever at your right hand, intercedes for us as our great high priest. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with the earth and sea and all their creatures, with the angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. He was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, we ask that you remember us in your kingdom and that you teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Our heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord is ascended, and therefore he can come to us and be with us at this table, in, through, under, and throughout this bread and wine. So come to the table of grace and receive this gift of new life.
Thank you.
it's my turn. And now, may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Living one, in this feast you have made yourself known to us. Send us now to tell of your wonders, sing of your glory, and proclaim your risen life to a wounded and weary world.
Amen. Okay, we have some announcements. All right. So our noisy offering, we're going to do a little bit of explaining on this. So for June, I think, and July, our noisy offering is going to go what we call the student lunch program. So in Galleon, and this happens in a lot of schools, there is an accumulated student lunch debt. So if you don't have money in your account and you don't have free lunch, they're not going to not feed you. So you get student lunch debt. And what happens when you accumulate student lunch debt and you don't get it paid off, if you're a senior, one, you can't graduate. I mean, you can graduate, but they won't give you a diploma. That kind of causes problems for you, right? And this isn't just Galleon. This is pretty much everywhere. So also, if you want to go on field trips or this or that or lots of other things with student lunch debt, you're kept from being able to do a lot of that stuff. So there was a group here in the community of nonprofits that was looking to raise about $5,700 to help cover this student lunch debt. There is a concept called, oh my gosh, I talked about it during I talked about it during the council meeting, and I can't forget about it. The Jubilee year. Yes, he's laughing at me over there. He's like, "How did you forget that?" The Jubilee year. This is how I look at this. Is this is our opportunity to provide a Jubilee year for all of these folks with student lunch debt. The council has committed $1,000 from that, and we are to that program, and we are looking to recoup some of that, as much of that as we can, from our next 2 months of noisy offering. So thank you in advance if you're willing to donate to that. All right. Huge thank you. Huge, huge, huge thank you to everyone who sacrificed their mind, body, and spirit and time for the Community Connections Expo. I think it was a great event yesterday. The car show was really fun. I learned more than I ever needed to know about old cars, but that was kind of cool. It was fun. So thank you for everyone who came out, participated in it, helped with it, organized it. It was a very, very nice event. Thank you to, I think there were some sponsors in the house. Thank you to everyone who played a part in that. And let's see, there's another really important announcement in here. I am out on vacation next week. Unlike most vacations, I will not be available at all. You cannot reach me on my cell phone. It just simply will not work in the middle of an ocean. So pastoral care needs, emergencies, please call Dennis. We've lined up some folks to take those pastoral care needs. So Dennis will put you into contact. And I'll be back in the office on Tuesday, June 10th. Next Sunday, as I mentioned, is Pentecost. Pastor Kathy Shuck, who has been here once, I know her from her time at First Lutheran in Upper Sandusky. She will be here next Sunday to preside over worship. So please come here next Sunday, gather, worship, get communion, and receive the gift of the power from on high, the Holy Spirit. What announcements have I missed? Yes. Him first.
We could use some cookies for next Sunday.
We could use some cookies for next Sunday. preferably in the shape of little flames or doves, your choice. So cookies for next Sunday. If you're willing to sign up to be the coffee cart for next Sunday, even though it's not a cart anymore, if you're willing to sign up for that, there's a sign-up sheet out there. Please take a look on your way out. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Christ is risen.
He